neither hath ear heard what is God has prepared for those that love him. Now notice that carefully. But God has revealed these things unto us by his Holy Spirit. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, the Bible is teaching that the inner eye of man and the inner ear of man has not seen or heard what God has prepared for those that love him. But he has revealed these things unto us by his Spirit. That verse teaches that God wants people to really love him. I mentioned a couple in the old church, that very wonderful couple, and the wife was very quiet and very well-liked from another community when we were ministering in Belfast, Maine. And when they came for counseling from Belfast, Maine, after being counseled for a considerable period of time, she simply said, "Ever since I've been a child, I've always seemed to give love but never receive much, and I've never mentioned that, but this is probably the greatest problem of my life." And when she said that, I thought at that time how that God wants people to love him. How do we love God? We love him because of the way we worship. We love him because we're lost in the cross with him. We love him through singing in the power of the Holy Spirit in the assembly, or singing melodies into our heart unto the Lord. And then as we respond to God's love, then the thing that happens is God reveals things to us, or the individual that loves him, that no one else receives from the Word of God. The eye hath not seen, neither has the ear heard, what God has prepared for them that love him. You would think that strictly means future. That's what I always thought for the most part. But it means that he's prepared some tremendous revelations about Jesus Christ through his Holy Spirit, which is revealed to them that love him in John 14:23. And so, if God gets what he's after, he produces love in his garden, the corporate body, and then he comes down and feeds on the lilies in that garden with myrrh and spices, with his cheeks, which are rosy as flowers, speaking of the outward adornment because of the inner life. And then the Lord Jesus begins to move in fellowship with his people through his love, with their love responding, and then the revelation of himself, which increases their love, and it also blesses him as he loves the individual. One of the greatest ways to get to understand God's Word is simply to respond to his love. Love will reveal more than anything else. And God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, 1 Corinthians 2:10. These things. Tonight, as we enter into worship, one of the things that God is after is a people that really love him back. That really love him back. That are very sensitive and love him back. And if you love anyone, you ought to express your feelings. And you ought to express that love. So, eye hath not seen, neither ear heard, what God has prepared for them that love him. That's what the Word of God says. So many of us are so busy wanting to be loved and wanting favors from God without responding to God's love by loving him completely back again. There's not a person here tonight that has any kind of a problem that couldn't be settled by accepting God's love in that area and then loving God back for himself. And you'll notice the times that you magnify your problems are the times that you don't respond in loving God or anyone else, but you magnify the problem. We're going to sing right now, if you'd stand please, "The Family of God."
I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joined ears with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God.
Behind every song that God has given us, There's been a tremendous story in our ministry. Stories that only the pastor would know because he's the one that's involved in them. Counseling people from miles around, having people call and write and sob and weep and have some lives reclaimed because they were ruined. To see Jesus Christ set in supernaturally with intervention and to see the absolute transformation perpetuated by the Holy Spirit behind every song that we've written is a story of families. Sunday night, Lord willing, it is from Him. My love is deeper now, the one we did last week. He loves through broken vows, etc. Was written after weeping for an hour and not being able to sleep for three nights. As God moves supernaturally, some of the things that have happened this week, supernatural things that are happening in this ministry, way beyond human comprehension. So tonight, we're going to speak upon axe heads, four different things about axe heads. I want you to listen very carefully to our message. After the service tonight is over, teenagers, the altar will be open whenever you can come. And don't forget, we're looking forward to being with you Saturday night. I think one of the greatest thrills we had was when we used to get together, the teenagers, and Harry Smith and others will remember this. Saturday nights at this altar at midnight with the kids, 45 to 50 teenagers, praising God. Then going over to Bath, on the highest part of Bath, then stopping in front of houses and praying for the pews. And I remember within a week or so after that, 32 decisions were made. Strange decisions that were supernatural. Of course, all decisions are. And so we're looking forward that God has given us Saturday night open in our own schedule. And I thank God that He has now after seeing your availability. And we'll be here Saturday night at 7 o'clock and all ready to go. And anyone is welcome. Any of the young people are welcome, teenagers, anywhere to be with us. Behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and taketh hence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content. And I pray thee, go with thy servants. And he answered, I'll go. So he went with him, and they came to Jordan, and they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, Take up to thee, and he put out his hand, and he took it. The first thing I want you to see tonight is that there was a lost axe head. There was a lost axe head. And I'll be concluding my message tonight with the lost axe head. The axe head speaks of what a born-again believer has in their hands. Moses had a rod in his hand. Shamba had a gourd in his hand. The axe head speaks of the measure of gifts that God hath given us individually. Romans 12:3, everyone has a measure of faith. Everyone has salvation that's born again and washed in the blood of Jesus. Everyone has an axe head in their hand. If you could sing tonight, that's an axe head in your hand. If you testified tonight, that was an axe head. Your voice is an axe head in your hand. If you pray tonight, your prayer life is an axe head in your hand. If you just plain swept this floor today, in Jesus' name, that was to be a helper and a custodian is an axe head in your hand. If you in any way ministered to anyone this week, what you did, you used the axe head. The axe head is what we have in our hand. If I had an instrument and could play any orchestra, that would be an axe head in my hand.
If I had the ability to counsel and could do it effectively and had a gift counseling, that would be an axe head in my hand. If I had the wisdom to say a sentence when people are nervous and reacting and troubled and living in confusion, and I could say one sentence of real wisdom in the Holy Spirit, that would be a gift of wisdom, and that would be an axe head in my hand. If I could give a verse of Scripture which would absolutely reveal a solution to a particular problem, that would be the gift of knowledge, and that would be the axe head in my hand. Now, I could have the knowledge of Scripture without the wisdom to apply it when, where, and how, but I need the knowledge, and that's a gift, and then somebody else may have a particular gift of wisdom, and that's also a gift. And all these things are axe heads in our hands. For the person that just comes up when a service is over and tells people in the sweet quietness of their soul that I'm just glad you're here and I love you, that's a wonderful gift. You see, that's an axe head that builds up the corporate body. You didn't preach a sermon, but oh, what you said in a minute of time. That's an axe head in your hand. Every single person has an axe head. In this particular chapter, they were going to build a building, and they cut down a tree, and when they did, the axe head fell off the axe handle and went out in the water, and they had no axe handle. I think that that's exactly what many people are doing today. They're trying to do God's work with just the handle. Can you imagine taking the handle and trying to cut down a tree? You wouldn't get very far. No, you need an axe head on the handle. You need it tightly secured on the handle. And you need to use the axe head to cut down the tree. You can't do it with a handle. Imagine going out on visitation without an axe head. Imagine coming to prayer meeting and thinking you're going to enjoy it without an axe head. I want to say tonight that I believe that God wants us that have lost our axe heads to enter into 2 Kings chapter 6. The verse says here, it was borrowed. The axe head was borrowed. The gift that I have was borrowed from the Lord Jesus. Every good and perfect gift comes from God in James 1:18, in whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning, and in whom he is immutable. And every gift comes from Jesus. So my gift is a borrowed one. I don't know what gifts I have. All of them, I know I have some. And I know that you have some. I know that you have a more important one than you think you have. But every gift that we have is a borrowed gift. And he said, I don't know what to do. The axe head has come off the handle, but it was borrowed. And when you lose a gift that's borrowed, that's even worse. You've got a gift from Jesus Christ. Maybe it's to come into a service and to be praying for the speaker and the singing and to be praying for souls while you listen, to be in an attitude of devotion and worship and dedication and consecration. And maybe that's your gift from God, just to be a help in 1 Corinthians 12:26 through 28, just to be a help. And so that's your gift from God. That's a borrowed gift, so don't lose it. Don't lose it. Maybe you have to have a gift teaching Sunday school. And you have a knack just to get up and love the kids. And you have a way of smiling or weeping or being serious. You have something in your teaching. You have an ability to understand the Bible. You have an ability to divide the Scriptures. You have a gift teaching. And God gave you an axe head of teaching. And I hope that that axe head isn't lost. I hope it isn't lost. Maybe you have the ability to develop your voice, and through hard work and self-discipline and training and a few hours of hard work, maybe you could sing in the choir and build up the men's corner and build up a certain area in the women's harmony. And maybe you have that gift, and that's your axe head from God. There's a lot of things you cannot do, but that is your axe head. And if you've got that, then only God knows we need that axe head on the handle. And we need the Holy Spirit to use your gift. It's a borrowed gift. It's borrowed from God. And oh, how you need to redeem the time in Ephesians 5 and 16, for the days are evil. Be ye understanding as to what the will of God is, and be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. And take that axe head and get it back on the handle again. Listen. I want you to listen tonight, because in our new program, we're going to have a tremendous change in administration. For example, if you're not qualified in an area, the thing for you to do is step down in that area and let somebody that is qualified take over. Then don't you quit and be mad. Just take over an area that you can do. And then when you find what you can do, go to it. We'll back you and help you, and you go right to the thing that you can do. We need more efficiency, and we need more coordination in administrative application and implementation. And we need people that can know what to do and do their job and do it right and follow orders. We need to have our act set on the handle. Notice what in 2 Kings chapter 6. He cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Oh, glory be to God. All God wants you to be is just an old stick cut down. The Bible always likens the Christians to an old stick of wood. Your humanity is symbolic of the wood. And when you're cut down, John the Baptist in the third chapter of Matthew, he said, I'm going to take the axe to the root of the tree. The servant of the unsaved person is the tree. And the axe is the word of God and the gospel. And the preacher is the one through the Holy Spirit that does the cutting, or the servant of God when he witnesses. And take that axe and cut down the tree at the root. And the word of God says the tree was cut down and the stick was in the water and the iron, the axe head came toward it. And that speaks of God's part in salvation, of God's part in implementation, of God's part in manifesting your gifts and stewardship. That speaks of God's part. And that part is the iron did swim, and that speaks of resurrection power in the water. The water speaks of the word of God. You are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you in John 15 and 3. Whereas shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to the word in 119 and 9. By washing of water in Ephesians 5, 26. Now listen carefully. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. The axe head was in the water and it started to swim. And that speaks of that that is on the earth that starts to swim in the current and power of the Holy Spirit, and that speaks of the born-again believer and his gift being joined to his humanity, the wood for his humanity. The axe head, the iron, speaks of his gift. The water speaks of the Holy Spirit and the Word, and when the iron swims, it means that your gift has life as it's joined to your humanity, and it reveals God's divinity, and you're in business simply implementing your gift through the power of God. How many understand it? And I'll tell you why. Listen, friends, some mighty dear people have lost their axe heads. I love them, but they've lost their axe head. It was so good to see the kids tonight. They haven't lost their axe head. In fact, their iron axe head is swimming toward the handle and ready to cut down some more trees. And that speaks of getting souls saved in the forest of life. Listen. God help us, God help us. I want you to turn with me now to Deuteronomy 19:6, 19:5, Deuteronomy 19:5. And I want you to see about a broken axe head, a broken axe head. Starting at verse 5, and when a man goeth forth into the wood with his neighbor to hew wood, and his hand fetcheth a stroke with the axe to cut down the tree, and the head slippeth from the helve, and it lighteth upon his neighbor that he die, he shall flee into one of those cities and live. Now get the picture. A man goes out with his neighbor, and he has his axe, and he starts chopping down the tree, and when he does, the axe head comes off the handle, and it goes toward his neighbor, and it injures his neighbor. In fact, it kills his neighbor. And I was thinking of, oh my, when my axe head is broken, the first axe head was lost. The second axe head is broken. And when my axe head is broken, how it injures other people. How it injures other people. Listen, a teenager came to me several years ago in a church, and I think it was East-West Moreland, New Hampshire, as I remember right. And that teenager said, listen, I haven't been to this church for 2 years, and do you know why? And I said, no. And she said, because I came, and the Sunday school teacher came in late. And I came the next Sunday, and the Sunday school teacher was late. And we sat in our seats for 15 minutes one morning. And she said, then I went to a youth activity. And she said, the director was late for the youth activity. And she said, it wasn't well planned, and it wasn't well organized. And so she said, then I went to high school that fall. And she said, my teacher was always in her room. She said, and she was always there. She said she planned a youth activity, and it was right on schedule. It was well organized and well planned. And she said, I began to build my life around my teacher. And then my teacher began to drink. And at least she began to reveal that she was drinking. And then some of the kids began to drink. And then I met a boy that was a wicked, deceitful boy. And she said, I fell in love. He got me pregnant. I married him. And she said, I don't know what to do. 2 years ago, I wanted God so bad, but the church didn't have what I want. And that's why I don't go here, Pastor. We don't go anywhere. I've been married now for a year, and my heart is broken because I know I have grieved God. And she said, Pastor, what do you think? And I said, I just think that that teacher and that youth director and the pastor of that church ought to hang their heads in shame. They had a broken axe head. And their axe head was broken. Imagine it. God's word. In God's class. In God's word. In God's choir. In God's orchestra. In God's ministry. In God's open air evangelism. In God's nursing home ministry. In God's prison ministry. In God's radio ministry. In God's television ministry. In God's visitational program. In God's prayer meeting. In God's youth meeting. In God's youth recreational meeting. And when people have the work of God and don't care, that's when you have a broken axe head. You know what? God's ministry is the biggest thing going. When any people will realize that God's work is the biggest work in the world, then they won't be late to Sunday school, they won't be late to prayer meeting, and they'll come to prayer meeting in the first place. There may be exceptions, we're not being legalistic on the exceptions, but I'm saying generally speaking they won't be, and they'll be faithful. I'll never forget, I was working in Augusta at two jobs. And every prayer meeting night and every Sunday, as a brand new Christian, I refused my second job to go to church. And I worked the nights that prayer meeting and services weren't on. I needed the money, at least I thought I did, but I quit those jobs on prayer meeting and Sundays and refused to work 1 minute of that time. Listen. That girl said, if it doesn't mean more to that Sunday school teacher than to come dragging in 15 minutes late, I don't think God's work is very important. And man, did that pierce me. I wrote it down. Did that pierce me? And I thought, of course she's right. You know, every one of our kids that fall, stop blaming the kids. I share in the responsibility of their failure. The Sunday school teacher shares in the responsibility of their failure. We share with the parents the failure of that kid's falling into sin. Instead of pointing at the kid and saying they fell into sin or they're doing this, I want to share in that failure. I'm a pastor. I'm a servant of God. I've got Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and the Bible. And if I minister and love and teach the way I should, then my axe head won't be broken. I'm working, making sure that my axe head is not broken. And you know what happens? Every time the axe head comes off the handle, somebody gets hurt. I'll never forget, I had a teenager in my office, that I'm not going to say when or where, and that teenager looked me in the eyes and she said, I'm pregnant. And first she was tough about it, then the second time she cried and cried and cried. And she said, you preached it for 2 years and I didn't pay any attention and I didn't think it would ever happen to me. And when she left, I wept and cried. And you know what I thought? I share the responsibility of her failure. Oh, if I could have only said something and done something to stop her. If there was some way I could have got closer to her, to helped her and loved her so she would not have done that. You see, we're not just in the business of helping people that fail, but we're certainly in the business of preventing people from falling into sin. And that's where the corporate body comes in. And if you come to church late and you don't care and you miss and you sleep over and you never show up for prayer and you just don't, you're not interested, you've got a broken axe head. If you can take choir or leave it, you've got a broken axe head. Some of you people that used to sing in the choir are just plain ugly backsliders, and I lost oceans of respect for you.
You've got a broken accent. Can't you even do that for Jesus steady without staying home and mumping up? You got a new baby and you think you got to quit the world. I'm ashamed of you. I'm ashamed of you. Your voice is needed.
The way some people, if they have a new baby, then they wave goodbye to serving Jesus Christ. And I hope we don't, and I don't think we're going to.
Listen, some of the best voices have left this choir. Why? Because their accent is broken. Temporal things ahead of eternal things. The family ahead of God.
Doesn't take much to get some people to quit, does it? Some of you people that sing solos and duets ought to be in the choir too. You say, I can't do everything. No, but you can take your accent and use it 100% for Jesus Christ. And you know why you don't want to do it?
Because hard work is involved, and you don't want to discipline yourself to work for God that hard.
I'll tell you what. You could be on time, too. God's people ought to be efficient.
God's people ought to be effective. Tomorrow morning, school teachers will be on time in their classroom. Tomorrow morning, the students will be on time. And why is it that God has to have a second-rate church with second-rate members and second-rate choirs and second-rate orchestras and second-rate Sunday school classes? Why can't you be on time and be effective and have a revival and get right with God and stop sinning?
Your accent is broken. And you know what you're doing? You're telling our precious kids that your class isn't that important, that it wasn't that important to be there for God's word to be taught, and that after all, so you're late every day, you just can't get around.
And you're telling your kids that God's class and God's word isn't important, and that's ugly, wicked, terrible sin, and I hate it.
Broken accent. Injuring people. That's what I said. Your accent falling off the handle and going towards some of our kids. 7 and 8 and 6 year old kids and 10 year old kids and 13 year old kids. And your axe handle comes right off when you're late or when you show slothfulness in God's word and injures these kids and injures our people. I'm, forgive me, but I'm sick and tired of second rate churches. If God's church can't be the best thing going, then I just don't want any part of it. I mean, we ought to have a choir that's... Listen, we may not have a better choir in quality. And I thank God, by the way, for the director. I thank God for his enthusiasm, his good job. I mean that. He does an excellent job. I want to say that clearly. This is... What I'm saying is to help him, not to hurt him. Let me say this. Our choir ought to be better than any choir in the state of Maine. When you walk up here, you ought to have some posture. When you walk down, your shoulders should be back. You're marching in the army of the King. You're a servant of Jesus Christ. You're singing songs of Zion. And you ought to walk up there and sit down with your shoulders back and proud of Jesus Christ. And sit down in a very eloquent manner of etiquette. And you ought to stand up likewise and march down likewise and keep your faces right. And just be serious about God and about your business of singing in the choir. That's your axe handle. And that's your axe handle in the hand of God. That's your gift. And man, you listen, we ought to have the best thing going. We may not have the best music, but we ought to have the best musicians. I mean, we ought to take this thing as the biggest thing going. If we have a youth activity, it ought to be better than any youth activity in the secular world. Everything we do ought to be the best. We're God's people. We're servants of Jesus Christ. We're children of the King. We're priests. We're important. Brother, years ago, and I used to go in a hospital, I used to feel intimidated, but the last 5 years, I feel I'm the most important person in that hospital. I went up to a doctor the other day, and I said, "What is your name, sir?" "My name is Pastor Stevens." And he acted funny. I wanted him to know that a servant of God was in that hospital, and I don't care. Listen.
God's servant is more important than anyone else. The Christian is the most important person in any place they go. If I'm a Christian school teacher, then I'd figure, brother, nobody's... I love them, and I don't mean that I don't think wonderful of them. But if I was a Christian school teacher, I'd be the most important person in that school. This morning I said to Stevie and Paul and Chucky, Melody, I said, we're following a little pattern in devotions. And I said, tomorrow, today, when you go in those campgrounds, the school campgrounds there, I said, you're carrying Jesus Christ inside you. You're a child of the King. You've got God. You've got the Bible. My, you're big and you're important. I said, don't you take any second-rate stuff from anybody. You're a servant of God. You're a Christian. And you're going there to serve God and to minister and to learn. But you're going there as a representative of God Almighty. Stevie wept and told me how he led that soul to the Lord last night, and tears were in his eyes. Listen, we're children of the King. And I'm not going to have a church full of people that have broken axe handles either. Either this ministry is the most... Listen, I don't care where the ministry is. I feel the same way. This is either the most important thing in my life or it's second rate. I'm not going to be a second... I may not be a good pastor as far as preaching, but I'll tell you what. I won't be a second rate pastor as far as God goes. I don't think a Sunday school teacher ought to be second rate. She ought to be the best. A choir member ought to be the best. Somebody in that orchestra ought to be the best. The director will be here Sunday night at 6:15 sharp. And no one that comes in 1 second later will play in that orchestra. Ought to be the best. I'm giving orders to the... Gene, by the way, is in the hospital. What a fantastic job he's done. He's just out of this world. We were just weeping this morning when he was thinking of him being in the hospital. Gene was operated on today for a hernia. But I want to say this. He has done a fantastic job. And I'm gonna compliment his ministry that if Sunday school teachers are late, I don't want them around! I mean, they can come to the services and get right and get their backslidden hats right. But I don't want them teaching Sunday school. I want them out! I only want people that think that's the most important job in America! Your job of teaching is just as important as my job as pastor. Because you are a pastor. How many understand that? God's business is the biggest business, friends, in the world. And every time that your axe handle breaks, it's going to injure somebody. You just get depressed and see if your axe handle doesn't go right into somebody that day. You just say an ugly critical word and see if your axe handle doesn't come off and fly and hurt somebody that day. Yes, you see, when you have a broken axe handle, it'll always injure somebody. I said, Lord, don't let my axe handle break today. Now, the next thing I want you to see with us is 1 Samuel chapter 13, verses 19 and 20. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verses 19 and 20. First, we had a lost axe head. Then we have a broken axe head that injures people wherever it goes. And now we have something else. Verse 19. Now there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears. But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share, and his coulter, and his what? Axe. Now listen. Here's some people operating with a dull axe head. Notice it. It wasn't sharp and it didn't get the job done. And you know what the Philistines did? They said, let's get rid of all the blacksmiths. And then the Israelites can't have any sharp weapons to fight us with. What do you think of that? And they did that. And the Israelites said, we don't care. We don't need any weapons anyway. But they did need them. They needed weapons and they needed to keep their axe head sharp. Now listen. One of the things that we need to be, and oh God help us. I suppose that many of us are shedding more tears in the past month than any time in the history of our ministry. And this is what we need. I've never prayed so much as I prayed this past week. I'm trying to get aside every minute I can before God. Now listen. We need to keep our axe head sharp.
in prayer, in witnessing. Last Tuesday night, only 12 or 13 women came out. Wednesday night, 6 men, and then some teenagers. The axe heads aren't very sharp. Jesus could have come Tuesday night, and you'd have been doing something second-rate occupation, second-rate. Some of you mothers get together with other mothers. You get your share of visitation in. Some of you men, never mind mileage, never mind a thing.
Sharpen your accent and man be sharp.
How would you like it? You're traveling on an airplane and the pilot comes out and he said, now, I don't know where we are and I don't know where we're going and I could do it, but I wish someone else could do it. And I'll tell you what, I would rather not do it. But if you nobody else can do it, I guess I'll have to do it. Would you have confidence in him? The bus driver, and you're traveling on a bus from Wiscasset to somewhere, and the bus driver stops down halfway to Boston. He said, I just don't know where we're going with this thing. He said, I'll tell you, I'd rather not drive. Could anyone else drive? I think somebody could do it better than I could. That would be sensible, wouldn't it? And that's just how some of you people act with God's business. That's just how you act. Your head needs to be sharpened. If we're ever going to carry on our fall program, you need to sharpen that accent. Somebody else do it. Not on your life! I'll do it! That man knew that he was going to drive that bus. He was a bus driver and he knew where he was going. The pilot knows that he's going to take that plane across the ocean. He knows it! And God's Christian knows that he's a choir member, a Sunday school teacher, a visitational Christian. He knows it, and nobody will stop him. God's work is not second rate. How many understand that? Some of you people should have been bowling Friday night. You listen, some of you couldn't, but you watch some of your people backslide because you don't fellowship with the body. It's too late now, I guess, but you watch certain people backslide because they don't mingle with the body. You're not willing to put out that extra little...
Listen, my life is consumed for God. Day and night, month in and month. Oh, God, it's nothing. It's not God plus something.
Why don't you get your... Oh, come on. You can trust God for a dollar here and there. Now, listen. You need to have your axe head sharp. You imagine going out and cutting down the tree and the axe head isn't sharp at all. Man, the sweat will come. You don't get nothing done. You say, I think I'll go home. That's exactly why some of you go home. Your prayer life isn't sharp. Your Bible study isn't sharp. Your worship isn't sharp. Your private life with God isn't fresh and sharp. And so you decide, well, I'll have another 6 weeks off to think it over. Let the others do it, and I'll be there when I can. I'll come when I can.
Second-rate business, second-rate God, second-rate heaven, second-rate Bible, second-rate Holy Spirit, second-rate, shame on you, second-ratest.
Isaiah 10:15 for the last axe head. Shall the axe head boast itself against him that heweth therewith? Or shall the saw magnify itself against him that shaketh it? Verse 15, Isaiah 10, shall the axe head boast itself? Listen. Imagine of an axe head that said, I'm pretty proud of the wood I cut down. That's all right with everybody. I'm just proud. You see all those trees over there? I cut those trees down. Listen. God forbid. May I make one thing clear again tonight, as I do frequently. We are not trying to have the most people in this church. We're trying to have the best people.
We're not trying to build people with muscle through sports. We're trying to build people with character through Christ. I mean, our Sunday school is a tool. The preaching here is a tool to build character in Jesus Christ. We're not out, first of all, notice what I said, first of all, we're not out to have this church packed. First of all, we're out to have this church filled with people that do come, that grow and are hungry and love God. We're never going to use anything about this ministry as an end. We're only going to use it as a tool. Somebody said, the preaching is just a wrench for God to use to take care of the screws. And we are tools in the hand of God, and what we're doing is not an end in itself. We are tools, and our ministry is a tool, and our choir is a tool, and our bus ministry ought to be a tool. It's failed, but it ought to be a tool. And our Sunday school must be a tool, and our orchestra must be a tool. Our various boards must be tools. We're interested in just being tools for God. An old axe head in our humanity, the corporate body with God providing the power to swing the axe. Yes, the axe head boasting. Listen carefully. If you do something for God, then keep quiet about it. Unless it's to simply by the Holy Spirit to build up somebody else and to encourage. If your motive's right, that's all right. If your motives are clean. But listen, the axe doesn't boast itself. In closing tonight, needless to say, our hearts are broken. When I see some of the good people that have been taking this ministry for granted, my heart has been broken. Whatever you do, do it with all your might. Give it your best. Be sharp in there, that axe head. Don't injure other people. Don't ever lost that head. Don't boast it as an axe head. Sharpen it. You put God first and put Jesus Christ first and put the Bible first and put your job first for God. And you put the corporate body first and you put them first and foremost and be an axe head that's sharp, that's secured tightly to the handle. And listen, and then we'll cut down some wood. Would you bow your heart? Father, in Jesus' precious name, give us what we're seeking for Jesus Christ. Father, in Jesus' precious name, bless and have your way with this congregation.